I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Plum Johnson joins me now. Her memoir, They Left Us Everything, was released last year to great acclaim, receiving the RBC Taylor Prize for Excellence in Literary Nonfiction. The book recounts her growing up in a sprawling house in Oakville, Ontario, and years later when she and her brothers have to pack up and clean up a lifetime of memories after their parents die. It's 20 years from the time their father first needs care as he's suffering from senility, his death, and their mother's own death at the age of 93. So Ms. Johnson, who lives closest in Toronto, is caregiver to her parents, and when we start the book, the relationship is unraveling with her surviving parent, her feisty mother. At her death, it's a mixture of relief and grief, and that ironic combination of feelings is worked through the book as the author looks back at her life and her parents. Scenes of her family's life are relived as Johnson moves into the house to tidy everything up. The book is funny, moving, and offers marvelous lessons worth heeding, whether you've got a lot of stuff or you have elderly parents or you just want to understand life a little bit more. It's just a great book. Plum Johnson is an author, artist, and entrepreneur. She founded Kids Canada Publishing and is the publisher of Kids Toronto and the co-founder of Helps Here. The website for more is at plumjohnson.com. The book is published by Penguin. She joined me from here in Vancouver last week while in town for appearances to promote the book. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Plum Johnson. Ms. Johnson, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Can you go to Monticello for free?
Mom did.
Yeah.
She had, you know, ancestors buried in the graveyard there.
So that doesn't apply to say, her kids?
Probably not.
No.
At least I wouldn't try. That was just Mom and the way she acted down there.
Yeah, she comes across in the book just as, I mean, you obviously had, you know, there was friction between the two of you. I mean, as there is between any parent and child. But
well, it's the mother-daughter relationship.
Exactly.
That can get really sort of snarly.
Yeah, but I mean, she comes across just as a character, just a lively person that would have been a great person to meet at one point. And I guess you heard that after she died, people that did encounter her that just found her just a wonderful person to be around.
She was a fascinating person, and I knew that when she was alive. It's, you know, often we see how other people react to our parents, and but then there's this, you know, the private stuff that goes on between parent and child. But yes, she was a fascinating person. I knew that.
Yeah. Jane Christmas has been someone who's been on the program a number of times, and one of her books, a couple of her books actually, talk about her own relationship with her mom, and I was delighted to read in the research that your mom and her mom knew each other.
That's right.
Yeah, and I guess your mom had read Jane's book and had...
Well, there's a funny story that... That Jane and I talked about, because Jane, you know, one of her books was called My Mother, Her Walker, and Our Grand Tour of Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And some of your listeners may be familiar with that. I didn't know Jane at that point. Our mothers have been trying to introduce us for years. And, of course, we were just, you know, separately rolling our eyeballs saying, you know, as if I need to meet the daughter of a friend of my mother's.
Uh-huh.
And so we actually didn't meet, I don't think, until after both our mothers had died. And I was able to share with Jane the story of after she had written her book, Jane's mother,
yeah,
came storming into my mother's kitchen and threw the book on the table. She was furious about it.
Right.
She threw the book on the table and said, the only reason Jane invited me on that trip was so that she could write about it. And my mother said to her, oh, Val, that's nonsense. I've read the book. It's wonderful. And she describes you exactly the way you are. So when people often ask me how I, you know, how I think Mom would have reacted to this book, I say, well, I just hope that she's up there with Val, and Val's telling her exactly the same thing.
Also an indomitable character, Jane's mom.
Yes, I think they both were the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we first meet you in the book, you're at the end of what's to be 20 years caring for your parents, first your dad and then your mom. The relationship at that point, how would you describe that?
Which?
The relationship between you and your mother.
Before, at the end of that?
Yeah.
At the 20 years?
Yeah, because you seem tired and rough. I mean, it is rough for you, isn't it?
Well, because Mom was so cranky, and of course, she had to live through Dad's Alzheimer's as well. And I have to say that she did a beautiful job of that. She was very loving and very patient with him. And we were all exhausted. And I think I didn't pay enough attention to that. I think I was more focused on sort of my own fatigue. My brothers and I, we were doing it together, of course. And Mom and I had this fractious relationship anyway, and it was deteriorating as she got older. And so, a lot of it was timing. Mm-hmm. I like to think I could have been more compassionate with her if she had been the first one to get sick. Mm-hmm. But because it came at the end of, you know, that very lengthy 15 years of caring for Dad, exhaustion had set in, and I had very little patience. And she had become just very cranky because of the things she could no longer do at her age. She was 94, and it was difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you describe in the book, I mean, it's quite sad. You would go for the weekend to stay with her, and you'd avoid driving into the house, going onto the property.
Sure. I mean, I would stall. I would drive out there, and then I'd drive around the neighborhood for 15 minutes because I didn't want to go in the back door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And I thought, you know, I also thought when I, before the book was published, I was very worried about how the book might be received by readers. I worried that I'd be sort of vilified by some of the things I confessed, my feelings about my mother. But I actually needn't have worried because I've been amazed at how many people have come up and said I had a mother just like yours, and we could have formed a support group beforehand if we'd only known. I think a lot of women experience that.
Well, what is your family thought? Because in the book, you're quite candid about, family relations, about stuff in your own life. I mean, you say stuff in the book that I probably wouldn't.
Like what?
Well, I don't know. You'd be talking about these feelings that you have about your parents, and especially your mom. I mean, I don't know, because my mom's alive, so I probably wouldn't say that now. But, I mean, even if she weren't, I don't know if I'd put that in a book, maybe. Maybe it's because I'm a guy.
Maybe.
Yeah. So what has your family thought? I mean, your brothers, their families, the nieces and nephews, have they enjoyed the book?
Yes, and some of my brothers thought I didn't go far enough, thought I was too nice. But, you know, I sent the manuscript. When you're writing a memoir, you have to be very careful, obviously, about, at least I think you do, about relationships. I wasn't prepared to sacrifice any family relationships by anything I said in the memoir. So I had actually sent the manuscript to each of my brothers beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them to please read it, to tell. I promised I would take out anything that they found hurtful, and I asked them to please help correct anything that they, any inaccuracies that they found there. So they had done that. They were actually very generous. There weren't any things they asked me to take out, actually. And they did help correct some of my memory lapses. So I had done that before the book ever came out, so I wasn't worried about their reactions.
Yeah, and it also stands, I mean, the book stands on its own as a wonderful remembrance of your dad, your mom, and that house.
Yes. Yes, I love that house. And in fact, the whole mother-daughter theme came as a surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
I never intended that to be a theme. Sometimes that happens when you're writing a book. You know, these things come to the fore that that you actually weren't conscious, totally conscious of. I thought I was writing about cleaning out a house and a house as a family container. And then I realized really Mum was the house also. And I had all these feelings that I felt I had to put out there once I realized what they were. So, yeah, and then I worried about that. The house is a character in its own right.
So you mentioned earlier that people have been coming up to you and telling you about the book. I'm sure you get emails from people since the book.
I do. It's been a wonderful part of it to meet all the readers.
So what have they told you in terms of how they've read the book? I mean, do people see it as a manual, perhaps, or instructive?
Some do, the way you described. And of course, I'm getting it from a different side. So really older people who read it, and people who are towards the end of their life, they thank me because they say, now I realize I don't have to clean up anything. Mm. I can leave the mess for my children because I realize I'm giving them this gift of a profound journey the way you experienced it. And I'm getting the younger 30-year-olds or 40-year-olds who are thinking about, well, sometimes they're already in the process of helping older parents downsize, may not be clearing out a house permanently, but maybe they're moving to an apartment or something. And they realize that they shouldn't just toss it all out willy-nilly. Because I think in these days, for one thing, they're often great distances to overcome. Children don't necessarily live in the same, town as their parents. And they're very busy, so they don't have the time. And they're smaller families, so there's not as many children to help with the task. So they realize, though, that they shouldn't just be tossing out paperwork. In my opinion, the paperwork is the most important thing to keep because you don't know what's in there. There may be just diaries, but it's, the things you can replace, unless they're very unusual, sort of family heirlooms or something. But it's the letters and the documents that eventually, you may not have time now, but eventually, when you do have time, you can sort through it, and you're going to find amazing things, and possibly get a completely different take on who your parents were, because we think we know our parents, but we don't always.
One of the discoveries you make as you're cleaning out the house are these letters that she wrote. And I was kind of surprised that she had them because she would write these letters to people, and they were great letters, as you well discovered. But she would get them back from people.
Right. People found them so fascinating that they'd send them back to her saying, I think you should save this.
Yeah.
And she was very cavalier about it. She would just, toss them in she tossed them in garbage bags, and they were in the trunk room.
Yeah. So coming away from all of this, are there questions that perhaps you have of your parents that you wish you asked that we should be asking of our parents while they're still around?
Well, it's interesting. I was just talking about that earlier with someone else. One of the things I wish I had done is tape record my parents' voice. I have that one message from Mum, that was sort of inadvertently saved because she called me to say happy birthday, and I was so ticked off at her that I didn't pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, I'm so happy about that because all she says is happy birthday, but it's the sound of her voice, and I don't have anything of Dad. And so I would advise, I wish now that I just taken, an iPhone and put it on voice memo and put it in the middle of a dining room table as everybody's having dinner or interview them, ask them questions about their past, just to be able to hear their voice again.
Yeah. So does writing, does it help understand the past differently? And I mean, you've obviously learned things about your parents that you didn't know before. After this process of writing a memoir, are you at peace with a lot of stuff in your past?
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you find that you're either like your mom or your dad?
Yeah. Well, now I of course we're a combination of both, right?
Right.
But now I take it as a compliment when somebody tells me that you're still like your mother. I'm turning into her more and more, which worries me. My children are very quick to remind me of that. they'll say, "You know who you sound like," and then I know what they mean, and I back off. But eventually, as much as we hate to admit it, we probably all turn into our mothers or fathers at some point.
So have you thought about what your later years will be like with your own kids?
What a good question. I think they're worried about it because I've got all of my mess plus what I took from Mum. So they've got twice the amount of stuff to go through. Yeah.
Do you look at time differently?
That I'm older, you mean?
Yeah, and because yes. You went through your parents, their decline. Do you find that you're managing it better?
I thought you meant no. The reason I look at time differently now is because I'm older. I turn 70 next year, and a very interesting thing happens, which I didn't realize until I got here. Partly because those 20 years from 40 to 60 that when I was caring for Mom and Dad, I sort of resented the fact that I feel like those years were sort of lost in a way.
Uh-huh.
And but now time is just racing by at a very high speed. And so I've been surprised because I never discussed this with Mom and Dad, never talked to me about this. But I've been surprised at the choices, at having to weigh the choices of things that I do, to see what's worth spending the time on since there's so little of it left. So that's, for example, when I look back on my life, I think that I realize that I sort of lived it in 7-year blocks. So when I look forward now, I think, well, geez, I've probably only got 2 more blocks left. I mean, of good blocks where I could actually do something. And books take between 3 and 5 years, between the time you start and the time they actually hit the shelves. So I've got maybe 2 to 3 books. And that's if I concentrate and focus. So there's not much time left to do other things.
Yeah.
I'm rambling here a bit, but I mean, that thought process has come as a surprise to me. Because I never heard, Mom and Dad just had, a typical sort of, I would call a typical retirement. They weren't ambitious to get things done at the end. They were very content and happy sort of living out their life. I guess partly because I'm finally doing what I always wanted to do, but it's come late. Maybe that's why I just feel in a hurry, I guess.
Well, it is a beautifully written book, so I mean, I can't wait to see whatever you've got next.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have told you that, haven't they?
Some have.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see too. I don't know what it's going to be because I've got so many, sort of ideas stored up that it's hard to know which horse to ride across the finish line.
So your mom read a lot. Do you think she'd have liked this book?
I do, actually. Yeah. I think she's been with me. In fact, I had a very extraordinary thing happen this past January, because the new owners of the house, a friend of mine, my childhood friend, who that I talk about in the book, Diana, mm-hmm. the one that we, her bedroom was across the garden, and we strung orange juice cans across.
Past messages.
Yeah. Yeah, so her mother was still living in Oakville, although she lives in Comox, actually, near here.
Yeah.
And she had flown out in January to see her mother. We agreed to meet and go walk down to the old neighborhood. She wanted to see her old house. And so we did that, and then we just got the guts to go around the corner and knock on the door of my old house. New owners were there, and they invited us in. And when we walked, it's been completely gutted on the inside, so there are no walls anymore. And it's all one big sort of open space. So we walked towards the windows overlooking the lake. It was January, lots of snow on the ground. And as we walked over there, all of a sudden we heard this huge noise. And it was the flapping of the wings, all of Mum's geese. The sort of sky went dark. All of Mum's geese flew in front of the house and landed on top of the lake. The new owners had never seen anything like that. And Diana got all emotional. I certainly felt that Mum was there with us. It was just an extraordinary, one of those kind of, I don't know, what you often, that's the other thing, you often hear people talk about birds.
Yeah.
After people have died, like, yeah, they'll say, oh, a robin came to my fence.
Right.
It was Uncle Jack or whatever. So I've always associated those geese, because that thunderous sound of the flapping of the wings and the geese landing is what happened when Mum died, the day of her funeral. So this was a duplicate of that. And it was very moving.
Yeah.
She can't remember what your question was.
But she died in January, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then in the back of the book, you talk about the August 12th is a significant day as well.
Because that's her real birthday, despite the fact that her plaque says it's August 16th.
Yeah. And so that's the day that you, I can't remember now, you had to deliver the manuscript or something like that? I can't remember.
That was the day that the book was going to come, you know, sort of all be done and ready to go. But the publishers chose that date.
Yeah. And then I looked it up, and then the date that the book was published was March 18th, which is my birthday, so just insert myself.
Oh, yeah?
Just insert myself in all of this.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful book and such a pleasure to have talked to you today. I mean,
Thank you.
It's been out for a while, so I read it when it came out, and the chance to talk to you has just been great for me. So congratulations again on all the success, and thanks for this.
And thank you so much. I appreciate it.
The website for more, plumjohnson.com. The book is called They Left Us Everything. It's published by Penguin. It's author Plum Johnson joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.